Hello and welcome to the CGF Sustainability Podcast Series. My name is Louise Chester and I work in the communications team at the Consumer Goods Forum, and this is the latest episode in our new series, which will take a deep dive into all things sustainability, from forced labour to plastics, deforestation, food waste and refrigeration. Today I'm delighted to be joined by Dr. Richard Swannell, Director of Sustainable Food Systems and Technical Development at the Waste and Resources Action Programme, otherwise known as RAP. The CGF has been working alongside RAP for several years now on food waste, and Richard is extremely knowledgeable on the topic, so I've been really looking forward to getting his insights. So hello, Richard. Thank you very much for joining me on the podcast today.
Hello, Louise. It's lovely to be here, and thank you very much for the opportunity to speak to you and your members.
Super. Thank you. So speaking of our members and indeed our listeners of the podcast, maybe you could start by telling us a little bit more about RAP's work on food waste.
So Louise, I think let's start off by talking about the scale of the problem that we've got around the world. And what's really interesting is that for every 2 tons of food we eat, another ton is wasted globally, which is an extraordinary statistic. That's around a third of all the food that we produce. And just to give you an idea of the scale of that, that's 1.3 billion tons, costing about $940 billion. And those numbers are so big, it's just try to get your head around them. Well, just in terms of the numbers and the costs, that's more than 10 times the turnover of Nestlé, one of the world's biggest food companies.
Yeah.
So a huge scale.
Absolutely huge.
And it's also having a big environmental impact. So food waste is responsible for about 8% of greenhouse gas emissions, which is 6 times global aviation. And if food waste was a country, it would be the third biggest emitter of greenhouse gas emissions on the planet, behind the US and China. And this is against a backdrop of 1 in 9 of us going to bed every night hungry. So it's a massive problem. And what we've been doing at RAP over the last 10 years is actually building the business case for why we should tackle food loss waste and working with business to find ways to reduce food waste right across the supply chain. And we've specifically done this in a number of ways. One particularly is building business collaborations. So public-private partnerships between retailers, manufacturers, hospitality and food service companies, and increasingly actually primary producers, working together right across the food system in our voluntary agreement called the Courtauld Commitment in the UK, in order to actually work together with the common goal of reducing food waste right across the supply chain. And working with our with citizens through our Love Food, Hate Waste campaign to help citizens reduce food waste right across the system. And what's interesting is that combination of public-private partnerships, the Courtauld Commitment, and our Love Food, Hate Waste campaign has helped the UK in only 9 years reduce its food waste across the food system by 19%. 19%.
Gosh, fantastic.
Yeah. And what's also been really good about this, Louise, is now that this is beginning, this type of approach is beginning to be taken up in other countries around the world. And also, I know it's sort of informed the thinking within CGF about how it looks at how to tackle this type of problem. So Love Food, Hate Waste is now used in 8 countries around the world and 6 different languages, which is fabulous. But we're also seeing the, people looking at public-private partnerships as a way of driving change in other countries.
Very interesting. I actually didn't know that you had that consumer-facing project as well. That's very interesting. So talking about what the CGF's been doing, as you know, in 2015, we launched our resolution to halve food waste within the operations of our member companies by 2025. So you've been working in this field a while. What do you think, how do you think that this our resolution has actually helped to drive progress on the issue, if indeed you think that it has?
Yeah, I do think it has, Louise. I mean, I'll be honest. I think what's really interesting is we're now seeing a groundswell of businesses, the leading businesses on the planet, are beginning to take this really seriously. And there's some great examples, some of your members like Tesco, have particularly nailed their colours to the mast and said, we are going to do this. And not only are we going to reduce food loss and waste in our own operations, but we're also going to work with our key suppliers and we're going to work with our customers to help them reduce food waste as well. And this sort of proactive attitude is exactly the sort of thing we want to see. And what's interesting is RAP is a Champion 12.3. We're part of the Champion 12.3 network, as is CGF.
Yes.
What we do is we work with WRI and we produce a report every year on progress towards 12.3. And actually, one of the areas which is going well under that assessment is, you know, leading businesses, you know, saying, yes, we will tackle this and actually doing it. The challenge we face is it's not enough for those businesses. We need more. We need more more businesses to prioritize this. And critically, we need more countries to prioritize this around the world. If we've got any chance of hitting the UN Sustainable Development Goal 12.3 of halving food waste and reducing food loss by 2030.
Right, yes. Driving progress at a faster pace is what we need. As you said, at RAP, you work with a number of different stakeholders and across different sectors too. So at the CGF, our big thing is collaborative action. We believe in it very strongly. What do you think is the value there?
Yeah, and we're very strong believers in collaborative action. And actually, because the evidence shows it works. And just to give you an example from the hospitality and food service sector, which we first of all did a separate agreement for them and then brought them into the core 12 commitment. So we now have one agreement that goes right across the food system in the UK. But when we started working with that sector in 2012, there was quite a lot of, how are we going to drive change? This is going to take us a while. You know, we need to understand our baseline. We need to measure food waste, then need to take action. And so when we talked to the sector, they said, well, look, I think we can deliver 5% reduction in 3 years. And we said, are you really sure? We think you can do more than that. And they said, no, actually, this is a really challenging area. Let's go for 5. So we worked with the sector. We built tools. We worked together how to measure food waste in all different subsectors of the hospitality and food service sector, like quick service restaurants, like hotels and pubs and restaurants. And also shared best practice on how to encourage staff within the kitchens and had suppliers to work as part of this, all work together towards reducing food waste. And in those 3 years, they didn't just hit 5% reduction, they hit 11% reduction in 3 years. So doubled the target. This, for me, shows the power of change. And what's interesting is we published some data just a few months ago on our with the Hospitality and Food Service, and those measuring and taking active part actually did another 7% in just 1 year. So, you know, you can really see the power of collaboration. It means we can move quicker and we can deliver cost savings and reductions faster.
So on a slightly more negative note, perhaps, we know it's not all plain sailing on this topic either. In your experience, what sort of slows us down? What are the challenges or perhaps barriers to success on the topic?
Well, I think the critical thing is, you know, our experience of this is that we really need to follow a simple basic mantra, which is target, set yourself very clear targets, measure, operationalize measurement within your business. And that for us is often the biggest single challenge. Taking something new, even though you know purchase of food, preparation of food is absolutely central to CGF members and the wider food system, but actually making sure you've got mechanisms that accurately measure waste on a regular basis and then act on those findings. Now the big challenge that we found is two things. One is actually getting over the barrier that many businesses say, well, we don't waste food. You know, we're a food business. We don't have a food waste problem. I mean, we know it's so inherent in our nature. And whenever we hear that, the first thing we say is, okay, well, look, just humor us. Go measure it in your operations. Select a particular site, measure it for a week, see what you find. And every time businesses have said, oh, crumbs, there's more than we were expecting. And then the next thing is, once you've done that first, once you've realized that there is an opportunity to save lots of money here, then the next bit is to act and act consistently to reduce that food waste. And I have to say, of the two, the barriers to measurement is often harder than the barriers of action, because once you've got the evidence in front of you that you can save loads of money, then actually acting is much easier. And just to give you some data, we worked with WRI on a number of reports now looking at the business case for food waste reduction right across the food system. And we looked at 1,200 sites in 200 different companies in 17 countries around the world. So this is global. This is in pretty much every continent on the planet. And what we did is we looked at the cost of businesses measuring and acting to reduce food waste. And then we looked at the benefits that they received in terms of reduced costs as a result of that action.
Okay.
And what we found was that the median, that's the middle return investment, for every $1 invested in food waste reduction activity, businesses were getting a median return, $14.
Okay.
So it's a really big return on investment. And, you know, you've heard Dave Lewis from Tesco sort of saying he regards this as a no regrets investment decision, because the business case is compelling.
Mm-hmm. So we spoke briefly at the beginning about consumers. I know that at RAP you've been working on the standardization of on-pack date labeling on products for quite some time to help make things easier for consumers. How is this work moving forward? Have you been seeing progress? I'd like to hear more about that.
Yeah, I mean, we've done actually a lot of work on date labels as part of the Courtauld commitment, our voluntary agreement between the retailers, manufacturers, RAP and governments, in terms of focusing on reducing food waste and helping citizens reduce food waste. And what we've done in that is come up with some, we actually revised the UK's guidance so that a date label is extremely prominent. And it's only one date label. You don't get two. You don't get a use by date and then a display until a stock control date. You just get one, and it's clear. The other thing is we've looked for real consistency amongst categories. So when we first started this, you know, we looked at cheddar cheese, for example, hard cheese, and we found that some manufacturers were labeling it as with a use by date, and others were doing it with a best before date. Now, one's about
so
food
confusing.
Safety. Yeah, one's about food safety, which is the use by, and one's about quality, which is the best before. They should be consistent across the category. So that was showing that there was an issue. And so single date label, really clear. And then also actually working with the manufacturers and retailers to maximize the amount of date time given to citizens to reduce food waste, and give them really clear guidance as to where to store the product. So, you know, best kept is one language that you'll see on pack. You know, best kept in the fridge, best kept in a cool, dark place for potatoes. You know, best kept away from other fruit and vegetables with bananas because of their ethylene production. You know, those clear things. And also saying clearly, you know, you can freeze up to the use-by date, right up to midnight on the use-by date. So again, being really clear on freezing guidance. So all of those things. Now, coupled, and the industry have also done other things, Louise. They've done things like resealable packs to actually help citizens reduce food waste. They've moved away from buy one, get one free offers on perishable items.
Yeah.
You know, so you go into supermarkets across the UK, you pretty much can't find a buy one, get one frees on perishables. You can find special offers and half price, that's fine, or you choose, you know, from this range of fruit and veg and you get a special price, but no buy one, get one frees. That's a really key thing. And the beauty of all of this, and you'll see even that some retailers in the UK use Love Food, Hate Waste tips on pack to help citizens reduce food waste. What you're seeing is this consistent messages, which is, retailers, we're prioritizing food waste reduction, we're helping you, our customers, to reduce food waste reduction, and also manufacturers doing exactly the same thing. That constant, continuous communication really helps citizens also tackle food waste in the home, which is significant right across Europe and indeed right across the world.
I think that is very helpful indeed, because it is confusing as a consumer, even if you have the best of intentions to control your food waste at home. So once we've sort of empowered consumers and given them a fighting chance to be able to do this, what sort of role do you think that they can play or perhaps should be doing at home to make sure they're not contributing to this issue? Yep.
Well, and interestingly, our research is quite consistent with what we're finding with companies. So one of the things I said in terms of the barriers in companies to tackling food waste was a feeling that actually we don't really have a food waste problem in my business. Yeah. Well, actually, when you ask UK citizens...
It's the same thing, I imagine.
It's exactly the same thing, Louise. Yeah, when we started this in 2007, we asked UK, so, do you waste food? 9 out of 10 said no.
Yeah, I can understand.
And to be honest, we've seen exactly the same responses in places like the Netherlands and in Denmark. And around the world, people don't think they waste food. Mm, mm. And so the first thing you have to do is to get over that barrier. And that's about raising awareness of the issue in a positive way. This is an opportunity for you to save money and actually also increasingly reduce your carbon footprint, particularly in light of the climate crisis we've got at the moment. You know, this is one of the things we can all do tomorrow to actually reduce food waste. And then once you've actually got their attention, then it's all about helping citizens change behavior. And this is where I think the Retail and Manufacturing Center have a role to play to make it as easy as possible to buy the right amount and use what you buy. Because fundamentally, that's what it's all about. And that ranges from everything in buying what you need, getting your portion sizes right, storing things in the most optimal way, because that then means you've got maximum chance to eat it. Using leftovers, my lunch today will be leftover from last night, which I'm really looking forward to. Those types of things all help, and the lovely initiatives, and this has happened in other parts of Europe, like, best before, saying this is best before and it's fine afterwards. So you get across the message that food doesn't magically, after a best before date, go from being wonderful to being awful overnight. No, it's just best before, it's fine after. All of these things help citizens reduce food waste and save money. And just to give you an idea, in the UK, Love Food, Hate Waste, and all the actions that have gone, all the companies' actions around this, have helped citizens reduce food waste by 23%.
Fantastic.
And that was in 9 years. That's over 1 million tons per year, saving around €3 billion per year. And just to give you an idea of the scale of that, if you can just imagine a very big football stadium like Wembley in London or Parc des Princes in Paris, actually, that amount of food waste would fill Wembley Stadium right up to the brim every single year of food. And that's a capacity that will hold 90,000 people. 90,000 people. Goodness. That is a shed load of food waste. So can we make the change? Can we help citizens make the change? Absolutely we can. Do we need to do more? Yeah, we do, because there's relatively few countries in the world where they can say that citizens have actually actively reduced food waste.
Mm. I think something around sharing recipes as well, to help people to get out of their normal habits. So you reminded me of an initiative that Carrefour did with Barilla a couple of years ago. Barilla, the pasta brand, had stands in Carrefour to educate consumers as they were coming through the store, or not educate, but show them a new recipe that they could do with vegetables that they had that were maybe, on the point of starting to be past their best. Just a nice veggie pasta dish. And that was apparently very successful.
And you've really seen that. I mean, and yeah, there are other companies that have done this. I mean, we've seen Sainsbury do this in the UK. We've seen, in terms of coming up with specific recipes, we've seen Tesco do this as well. And things like soups are a fantastic way of using up vegetables that maybe are not quite at their best, but still nutritious, and you can get a really good, healthy meal from that. And also, actually, campaigns like Love Food, Hate Waste also have on their, lovely recipes on how to use your leftovers, but also how to make the best use of the food. Things like, this is what I've got in my fridge. What can I make with that? What inspired meal can I do that? And we've even seen some of the brands, I'm thinking Unilever have done this and others, where they've actually used this as part of their marketing. Here is our product will help you make the best use of your food, help you be creative with whatever you've got left in your fridge in order to get a really healthy, nutritious meal. And this is another area where we're really seeing some innovation to help us all do it. So there are some great positivities here. It's just not enough is being done in enough countries around the world to actually get us on track to deliver 12.3.
Well, I've got half a can of chickpeas to use tonight, so if you've got any recipe ideas, let me know.
hummus is good.
Hummus always good. So Richard, what are your hopes for the industry then? We're just about to move into a new decade, which is quite crazy. I think I only just realized this recently. What do you hope for progress on the topic, or indeed the broader industry as we move forwards now?
What I hope that can happen, Louise, is that we can build on the great work that's been done over the last 10 years on understanding how to tackle food waste, and then to get on and actually do it. So as we've already said at the start of this discussion, we know that many of the top businesses on the in the food industry are actively tackling food loss and waste. Great. But what we need to do is to get it to be absolutely mainstream across the entire sector. Mm. Part of the things that every food business does is it measures food waste and actively takes steps to reduce it. That's just part of normal business operations. It becomes the new norm in much the same way that nearly every business, not quite every, but nearly every business is actively trying to reduce its greenhouse gas emissions. It'd be great to see every business actually actively reducing its food waste and working with its suppliers to do that. So we're not moving food waste up and down the supply chain, but we're actually reducing it right across the supply chain and working with its customers to do exactly the same thing. Yeah. Because if we can operationalize food waste reduction, this is just the normal thing every food business does, then we'll hit 12.3, I understand, particularly in the food sector, but we really will also help citizens do that. Because, you know, we know that it's so important. The next few years are so important if we're going to hit the Paris Climate Agreement objectives of keeping global warming to within 1.5 degrees C. We're going to have to act over the next couple of years. Yeah. And it's not as if we don't know what to do. We do. And there are many companies doing it. Yeah, we do. We have the roadmap. Exactly. So let's get on and do it. Oh, and by the way, not only will it reduce greenhouse gas emissions, it will actually save lots of money. And that's a really powerful argument here within business to actually drive this agenda.
Yes, definitely. So final question for you now, and it's a bit more of a personal one. I like to ask everybody on the podcast, what keeps you personally inspired and motivated to keep doing the job that you're doing and getting out of bed every day?
That's a lovely question, Louise. But I think for me, wonderful thing about this is seeing companies change, seeing citizens change. You know, it's those stories. It's actually talking to companies that have actually managed to reduce their food waste by 30% in 3 years in areas which everybody said would be really hard. So Co-op, for example, have done a great job in terms of a lot of their small retail outlets, where everybody said that's going to be really difficult to reduce food waste in these small outlets. You know, they've nearly hit 30% reduction in 3 years. You know, it's going into restaurants and hearing the chef saying, you know what? You know, in the last 6 months alone, we've reduced food waste by 20%. And you know what? It's inspired my team. They're all working on it together. They love this initiative because they don't want to be throwing food away. Mm. They actually want to be making the best use of food. They work in the food industry. They love food. That's what they want to do. And I hear that message time and again. I hear it in restaurants. I hear it in hotels. I hear it in manufacturing plants. I hear it in retail establishments. And just seeing the sort of delight on the faces of the colleagues who are working in those stores saying, do you know what? You know, we saved, you know, food waste of 15% just last week alone. It's great. I'm not throwing food away anymore. I'm finding ways of making the best use of every scrap of food. That's what inspires me. Mm-hmm. That's what gets me out of bed in the morning.
Mm, fantastic. Well, thank you very much, Richard. It's been a real pleasure to talk to you today and very, very interesting. I've definitely learned a lot about the topic.
Well, thank you, Louise. I've really enjoyed the discussion as well. And I do hope our listeners find this useful.
If you would like to find out more about the CGF and our work on food waste, you can visit our website at www.theconsumergoodsforum.com. If you liked this episode, please do subscribe to the podcast for more episodes coming very shortly. Thank you and see you next time.